Welcome to Louisiana Considered. On a Wednesday, I'm Adam Voss. Louisiana's Industrial Tax Exemption Program, ITEP, has been a contentious item politically lately. Governor Jeff Landry in February signed an executive order removing some of the program's requirements regarding job retention. Proponents say this will add stability to the incentive program, giving industry more assurances about the investments that they make in the state. Critics say it removes a level of accountability and unravels some of the reforms to ITEP made in 2016 under former Governor John Bel Edwards. They say it brings ITEP back to being less of an incentive and more of a giveaway. Speaking of jobs and income, those are economic yardsticks one could use to measure the effectiveness of economic programs like ITEP. And our first guest today, Nick Messenger, is an economist with the Ohio River Valley Institute, a nonpartisan nonprofit economics and energy policy research think tank, which recently released a report detailing what economic impacts Louisiana's ITEP program has or hasn't had, according to their numbers. Nick Messenger, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Great to be here.
And we'll be talking in a moment with a representative from the chemical industry in Louisiana regarding what their take is on Landry's changes to ITEP. But first, with Nick here, first of all, what made your organization do this research?
Well, so people might hear Ohio and think, well, why the heck are you doing research down in Louisiana? And the answer is that we really focus on the region up here in Appalachia in terms of the impact that the oil and gas and plastics industries have had. And it's really hard to look at those impacts and not find your way drifting down the river to Louisiana and the Gulf Coast, where there's a lot of similarities and a lot of the futures of these states are tied together, even though they're pretty far apart geographically. So as we kind of dug into it more and followed some of the developments down there and looked at some of the history of industry down there, ITEP really stood out. My background is in researching tax incentive programs and economic development policy, what works and what doesn't around the country. And so really wanted to dig into ITEP, which really is one of the largest tax exemption programs for corporations in the United States.
Yeah, we'll get into some of the ways that Louisiana compares to the rest of the U.S. in a little bit. I understand you're using jobs as an economic indicator. Why is that? There are other indicators we could use to measure impact and progress. Why these numbers?
Yeah, so you can't just use jobs because the job can be high paying, it can be low paying, it can be, I don't like the term, but economists will call it high skill or low skill, right? Do you need advanced training or education to have the job? And so not all jobs are created equal, and I think everybody knows that. So you kind of look at jobs and you also look at the yardstick of personal incomes. And so if you've got everything going in the right direction, everything's developing well, you should be growing jobs. And those jobs should be pretty good jobs. You should be growing incomes as well. And so our study really looks at those two key pieces and ties it together with the ITEP data. So one key difference in a lot of studies you might see out there is some studies, especially before a project happens, are forecasts, you know, like a weather forecast. They say, you know, this project's going to create, you know, 400 new jobs in the future. There's really no way to assess if that's true or false, right? That's a forecast. You have to wait for it to rain to know for sure it's going to rain. And so our study looks at actual data over a period of years, kind of in hindsight, and actually links that data to ITEP exemptions and tries to evaluate, did we actually see a result in the data? Was there actually some sort of statistical link between when an ITEP exemption went into place or when parishes started exempting more with ITEP? Did they then see subsequent job growth and personal income growth?
And what did you find?
Unfortunately, there's no statistical link. And we tried to control for a lot of other factors that are unique to the state. So the geography, the demographics, the pre-existing economic conditions. And we included all of that in our model to try to say, you know, let's control for as many factors as we can and really just try to see if there's a link, absent all other things, between jobs and income and the amount of tax dollars a parish gives up under their ITEP exemptions. And it's a flat line. There's no evidence whatsoever in the data that there's a correlation between the two. Actually, conversely, if you look at the raw data, a lot of times you see the parishes that grew the most had the highest percentage of new total job growth and new income growth were parishes that gave up far less in terms of ITEP as a percentage of their overall revenue.
How does Louisiana's tax exemption program compare to other states? What's the level of generosity here?
Well, it's pretty generous. The way it used to work before the reform, and folks are probably familiar with, a company could apply if they're a manufacturer. A state board had the ability to approve their application. So there used to not be any kind of input from local sheriffs or school boards or parish councils. A state committee got to decide. They typically decide in bulk. They don't meet terribly long. They don't analyze each project that deeply. And once they grant the exemption for up to 10 years, they have to reapply halfway through. But it's effectively 10 years, they used to get 100% of their local taxes were exempted. And the argument was, well, if we give the company this, they'll come create jobs. And nobody's going out and saying that, you could go down to one of these factories and nobody's working there. That's not what this report's saying. But what we are saying is that those jobs weren't net new jobs. If you zoom out and you look at the parish and the state level, the state population has been shrinking for 7 years, right? And so there is an element here of even though you might have a couple hundred folks working at a new factory that got an ITEP exemption, that's really just rearranging some of the deck chairs here, right? You're really just shuffling workers around from one job to another. And that's where the personal income piece comes in. You might think, well, even if we're shuffling workers from an old job to a job at this new ITEP supported factory, maybe the new job is higher paying. We would expect to see some sort of relationship in the income statistics then as well, right? And the fact that that's also a flat line really suggests that on net, the program hasn't really produced a huge economic impact that I think folks have been hoping for when it launched back in the 1930s.
How about the performance of similar programs in other states? How does Louisiana compare in terms of how these programs generally perform?
Yeah, well, ITEP's certainly more generous, and there's fewer hoops to jump through for companies to get ITEP exemptions than in other states. But really, across the country, these exemptions do not have a track record of being terribly effective. And when you see the types of companies across the country that kind of try to go solicit these types of investments, a lot of times they might not even break ground on the project that they are hyping up in some of these states. Foxconn comes to mind in Wisconsin as a major investment that didn't work out. We've just seen news that Intel, which was a big deal in Ohio, is delaying their major chip fabrication plant that got a lot of tax incentives. The biggest one people are probably familiar with is back in 2018, you had a lot of states across the country racing against each other to get Amazon's, HQ2 corporate headquarters that ultimately landed in Virginia, an area that was already doing pretty well. But we've already seen Amazon start to scale back that investment as well. Unfortunately, times change, the markets change, conditions change. And so these tax incentives given out over a really long period, it's really hard to forecast how effective they're going to be in the long run. And unfortunately, they're usually not that effective.
Are there any examples of incentive programs that work well?
Well, I think the first step is you have to have some sort of accountability. ITEP stands out because prior to 2016, there was really no job creation requirement. And so that's a big piece of how do you hold a corporation accountable if it makes a big promise and it gets a large amount of taxpayer dollars to support its investment? You have to have a way to get that money back if they don't meet the promises that they made. And so you do see some states, Ohio's program, we have taken some steps in the right direction with clawbacks, where you actually can get money back if a project doesn't create the jobs it promises. We've seen examples where maybe there's site development where, the state will help develop a site. And, if the company ultimately backs out, the state still owns that site and still can repurpose it for something else. But really, the best path forward that we've seen across the country in true economic development is what we call quality of life economic development. People vote with their feet. They live where they like to live, where it's nice to live, where the schools are good, the parks are good, there's restaurants, there's shops, there's local businesses, there's good downtowns, there's good transportation. And so those things really, time and again, prove to be much better economic development investments in the long run than abating taxes away for a single corporation and hoping it works out.
We're speaking with Nick Messenger from the Ohio River Valley Institute, who recently released a report detailing what economic impacts Louisiana's industrial tax exemption program has or hasn't had, according to their research. Nick, what would you say to arguments that Louisiana needs to heavily subsidize industry to not only attract new business to the state, but to just keep existing industry here in the first place? Leaders here, understandably, are very hesitant to do anything that would further discourage corporations from wanting to be here.
Yeah, well, like I mentioned, ITEP has been around since 1936. And if you look at where Louisiana was in 1930 relative to other Southeast states, say Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, it was ahead of them in personal income per capita by about 15%. Fast forward to 2022, 8 decades of ITEP, Louisiana is unfortunately over 7% behind the Southeast average. You've seen other states grow and give up less to do it. And so I think that this mindset that the state, doesn't have anything to offer except more tax abatements is really short-sighted. One of the things we really underscore in the report is there's a lot of alternatives out there. And sometimes I think it's a case of, local parish councils used to hard times, aren't necessarily hearing about some of these other options that might be more effective at helping reverse fortunes.
And finally, based on the data, can you make any suggestions, any public policy suggestions that would encourage positive impacts on jobs growth and personal income?
Yeah, so one of the biggest things is that when you look at the types of companies that are traditionally receiving ITEP, they're large multinational, international companies. The highest paying jobs at those types of companies are wherever their corporate headquarters is located. And in most cases, that's not in the state of Louisiana. And so you have to really think about what could we do instead to create higher quality jobs here in the state. And the answer is right in front of us. The answer is small businesses, local businesses, startups. There's kind of an astounding fact out there that if you take every company in the United States that is 1 year old to 200 years old, they're net job destroyers. And that seems mind-blowing to people because they think, oh, these huge, massive brand name corporations, they employ thousands of people. But you read about layoffs, right, every single day from different tech companies or different brand name national companies. Startups, entrepreneurs have a much larger ripple effect in their local communities. And so really investing in the people who already live in Louisiana, the people who already are in these communities, who either own small businesses, who work in the communities already, who want to start a business in the community, you could take similar dollars or probably much fewer dollars and actually have a bigger impact by making those types of small business investments versus ITEP. Another piece that I'll throw out there is the investments in education, public schools, K through 12, trade schools, and skills. Companies want to come where workers are qualified to take the jobs they're going to create. One thing we talk a lot about is automation, and people get scared and think, oh, robots are going to replace people. What we actually see is that as automation becomes, the technology becomes higher and higher for artificial intelligence and automation, you still need human workers, but the skills that those human workers need to have are much higher. They require really special training, whether that's a computer science or whether that's a trade program in electrical engineering and electricians, to set those types of things up. So there are investments you can make that, are investments in the people of Louisiana that will continue to pay those dividends long term.
Nick Messenger is an economist with the Ohio River Valley Institute. Thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is Louisiana Considered. I'm Adam Voss. To continue our conversation about ITEP, particularly in the context of the change Governor Jeff Landry made in his executive order a couple of weeks ago, we have in the studio with us Greg Bowser, President and CEO of the Louisiana Chemical Association, which represents the interests of 66 chemical manufacturing companies in Louisiana. He's also president of the Louisiana Chemical Industry Alliance. Welcome to the studio, Greg.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, and I hope we can shed some light on some very important economic development too for the state.
Thanks. First, the industrial tax exemption program has encountered a series of changes in recent years. Could you walk us through those changes, the most monumental of them? How have they affected industry?
Well, the biggest change really happened in 2016 when Governor John Bel Edwards signed an executive order which changed the industrial tax exemption from being 100% of the exemption to 80%. And he also added a jobs requirement. So it changed it radically. It slowed down the process with respect for approval. And so it took companies a long time to get approved. And in today's world, when you're trying to make an investment, time is of the essence in many cases.
The LCA says Landry's change in February brings a level of certainty to the program. Tell me about that.
Well, the way the program was working under Governor John Bel Edwards was that you filed your application at the Commerce and Industry Board. And the application was really held up until the locals made a decision on whether or not they wanted to approve a portion of your exemption, i.e. the 20%. And what that did was you were simply waiting until they decided. And the other thing is that you couldn't decide who they were, because each local taxing authority, which in some cases in one parish, it may be as many as 40, they all had to make a decision. So it was some degree of uncertainty.
So we have this dichotomy where restrictions meant to protect the local taxing authorities, schools, parishes, and introduce accountability are seen as destabilizing, while loosening the checks on the program are seen as stabilizing. Is that one way or the other split an honest way of looking at this?
Well, I think really that's a misconception, because when you apply for an industrial tax exemption, there is a process in place at the Commerce and Industry Board where they require certain things on the application. You have to fill that out, and then that department has staff which verifies whether or not you meet that requirement. There is a process that has to be followed, and I think that process has always been in place. And the Department of Economic Development has a staff that goes through that application, making sure that the things that an applicant puts on there is something that can actually happen.
So critics of ITEP will argue that the whole point of it is to bring jobs and wealth to our state. Or if that's too high of a bar, to at least keep our jobs from leaving the state. It seems like the governor's action takes away some teeth that were used to hold industry accountable to its promises, at least relating to that goal. What do you have to say to that?
Well, I would say that's not correct, because when you look at the whole merit of the program, again, it's to bring large capital investments into our state. And you look at the fact that we've done that. Now, you know, if you want to talk about jobs, that's a little different, because you have other programs that are designed to attract jobs in. And I will tell you, I don't know of any huge capital investment that came into our state or any state and didn't create any jobs. And so when you're asking someone to make a $1 billion capital investment in your state, that's not something that you can pick up and easily move. So that in itself is worth going after. And I think that the state of Louisiana benefits from that.
How do you measure the success of ITEP? Is it job numbers? Is it revenues? Tell me how you measure that success.
I think ITEP is designed to get huge amounts of capital investment. I think you measure ITEP by the amount of capital investments that's been put in. I'll give you an example. You know, even Governor John Bel Edwards, when he talks about, well, you know, we reduced it by 20%, then he still brags about the amount of capital investment that comes that way. And that's what the program was designed to do. It was designed to attract large amounts of capital investments.
So you'll have some judgments according to what the job numbers look like, whether they kept the jobs or not, or how much revenue comes in. You might say we need to use a different number to measure our success.
Well, I'll measure success this way. You look at the parishes that have the largest amount of industrial tax exemption property. They're also your richest, more affluent parishes. The parishes that generate the most money, pay their teachers the most, and invest more in their education and everything in the parish. I'll give you an example. One of the parishes, Ascension Parish, it's one of the most affluent parishes in our state. There are huge industry that in Ascension Parish that has large amounts of industrial tax exemption projects. And so you can't say that Ascension Parish schools have suffered because of the industrial property tax exemption. As a matter of fact, I would argue just the opposite.
We're speaking with Greg Bowser, president of the Louisiana Chemical Association. We're talking about the industrial tax exemption program. So looking at capital investment, we've had ITEP since 1930-something.
1936, I believe.
And we had the changes in 2016. Mm-hmm. What have the capital investment numbers looked like from pre-2016 to after those changes?
Well, I think you're going to have to wait a little longer to get all those results in, because we don't know how many projects were on the drawing board prior to 2016, and they just showed up in 2016. They were just done, completed in 2016, 17 or 18. And so I think we have to look at that. I don't know the numbers yet, but I think we're going to see that, yes.
What do you think Governor Landry's changes were made in response to, considering we maybe don't have the numbers yet to know if 2016 was a disaster for industry or how we're going to reap what we sowed?
I think the governor's decision was based on the fact that he spent time traveling around the state during the campaign, listening to people on the ground. And I think his decision was the fact that he met with business leaders and economic developers across not only Louisiana, but across the country. And they talked about how they do economic development. I think he looked at what was going on in our neighboring state of Texas. You know, when you do something and you have to ask yourself, well, if this is the thing to do, why aren't they doing it in Texas and they're getting Texas and Mississippi and other places which are getting huge investments? Why aren't they doing the same thing? Why do we want to be an outlier in the state of Louisiana? And you look at our tax law. The number of places in our tax law where we have outliers. And so I think those are the things that the governor looked at and said, hey, look, why we don't need to do that. Maybe one of the things he looked at was the fact that the parishes that do well in terms of paying their teachers and funding their roads and schools and things like that, those guys are doing really well. They have large industry in the area. So it's not hurting what they want. I think the people who, for the most part, who talk about doing away with industrial tax exemption or reducing it, people that you will find that are anti-industry to begin with. It's really not the property tax exemption. That's just a method to their madness. So I think that's the thing that needs to be taken into account. I don't know any economic developer that has said you shouldn't use this program. You ought to do away with the program.
What public policy changes do you suggest making to ITEP to make it a better tool for attracting industry and jobs to our state, while refraining from siphoning much-needed income from public entities like public schools?
Well, I will tell you, if you say, how do you say that the industrial tax exemption takes money from schools? If you don't get that project is not there today, you're not getting any money today from that project. And they say to put that project in, instead of paying you $100 million, I'm going to pay you $80 million. Have you lost $20 million? You haven't lost $20 million. You just gained $80 million. And so to say it loses money or siphons money away from education, I think it's misleading. Again, I think that's people who don't want the program at all anyway, and they're anti-manufacturing. I think that's what that is.
Do you foresee any further changes to ITEP? What do you think could happen to ITEP to make it a better tool?
Well, I think that it's going to be interesting to see how the Commerce and Industry Board writes its rules, because there have to be rules that have to go along with the governor's executive order. And I think once they write the rules and promulgate them and make them final, we'll see what that looks like. I think that'll be the real telltale sign of what's going to happen.
We use ITEP to both bring new industry, new investment mm-hmm. to the state. It's also used for manufacturers and employers that are already here, that already mm-hmm. have roots in the ground. What do you say to using ITEP for those ones that are already here where there are threats like, hey, we might leave, our jobs might go away unless we get this investment?
What do I say to those folks? I say, stay here. Let's do it. But situations like that are ones where you may have a plan that's operating that may be old and antiquated, and there's going to have to be a large investment to change the equipment, to put something new in. Those are the people that may want to operate on the same footprint, so they want the industrial tax exemption. It's not that basically they're going to keep the same equipment there. You have to expend the money. I mean, you can't just get an ITEP and not spend the money. You have to invest the money to get the ITEP, and I think that's the big thing.
Would you still say the program could use those teeth, those barriers to say, hey, you promised something, you have to do it?
I think it does have those programs. And what it says is that you promised to invest X amount of dollars and you have to do that. If you don't do that, then you lose your exemption. I think that's the way it is. You know, here's another thing that people don't realize. Industrial property today is assessed at 15% of value, okay? If you have a house, residential property is at 10%. There's no rationale for that, but it's 15% versus 10%. And if you take farmland, for example, it's valued at less than 10%. So all of a sudden, if you put an industrial facility on what was once a sugarcane field, the property valuation just went from zero to 15%.
Greg Bowser is president and CEO of the Louisiana Chemical Association. Thank you for your time today.
Hey, man, I enjoyed it anytime.
That's been Louisiana Considered on a Wednesday. A thank you to our guests today, Nick Messenger with the Ohio River Valley Institute and Greg Bowser with the Louisiana Chemical Association. Our managing producer is Alana Schreiber. Our contributing producers are Matt Bloom and myself, Adam Voss. We receive production and technical support from Garrett Pittman and our assistant producer, Aubrey Purcell. You can listen to Louisiana Considered on this station weekdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. It's available on Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Adam Voss. Thanks for listening.
Major support for Louisiana Considered provided by Rouse's Markets, a Louisiana shopping experience, with additional support from Tulane School of Public Health.